I think it's been 11 Sundays since we've been here. The last time was March 15th, the last time we met. It's been a long time. And I was hoping to have this be a really cool time of Pentecost Sunday reopening, which it will be. It is. But this week was really rough with this whole tragic death of Mr. Floyd up in Minneapolis and the fallout that came. And I need to acknowledge that. We needed to acknowledge that. It's just horrible in every way. There's been, as you all know, if you read the news, you know, and then it came to Faribault with our own police department. And by the way, I wrote a letter, drafted a letter of our new protocol for our services, and brought it to the Faribault police chief, Andy Bolin, and he came and met with me. I was just thinking I might have to just drop the letter off, but he was there. I was able to see him. He came out in the lobby, and we had a great conversation. He didn't get a chance to read it quite yet, but we talked about kind of the ideas of what's in there, and he was very supportive. I just want to say very supportive and said, I wish you well, go for it, and he'd get back to me if there's any problems, and that was a week ago, early last week, might even be in the week before, I think it was just early last week. And so we have, we want to do things out in the open, even though the governor has, and we are complying in all those things. We're at 25% capacity. We're still, even with all of you in the room, we're still less than that. And so we want to do some, do our things, do our measures that will help everyone feel at peace. And I trust the Lord that people will come when they're ready. So, but the protests, thankfully, that came to Faribault Friday night didn't escalate. And I know some of you were out there. Some of you went there to pray. And I heard from you, and I appreciate that you were there to pray and that it didn't escalate, that no violence happened, and the next night there was nothing. No crowds, no nothing. So last night it was very quiet. But it's a painful and tragic thing. There's a lot of tension. So there's a lot of tension in the air right now nationwide. And I'm thinking, I wanted to have this be this party that we're open again, and we're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit. And then I got thinking and reading about Pentecost, and it was very similar. The circumstances at Pentecost are very similar in many ways to where we're at right now. There was a lot of in Acts 2, a lot of tension when Acts 2 came, when the Holy Spirit fell. I want to read that. Well, Pentecost, the festival, the event that God set up, obviously from the Old Testament, it's 50 days, Pentecost means 50 days, it's 50 days after the Passover. And so in the Passover is when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper in Jerusalem before he was crucified. And then died and buried and rose again. And in Acts, the beginning of Acts, he says to his disciples in one of his appearing to them in resurrected form, he appeared to them. It says in Acts 1, it says he appeared for over a period of 40 days after the Passover. 40 days he appeared to his disciples and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And then he told them, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait for power from on high. And they didn't know how long they'd be waiting, but 120 people went to Jerusalem in the upper room, and they waited, and 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost. So it's 50 days after the Passover, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit came on those who were waiting. And the church was birthed. Pentecost is the birth of the church as we know it. And it wasn't just a club. It wasn't just a human organization. It was a supernatural work of God. It was the beginnings of an eternal family that is still growing day by day. 2,000 years later, it's still increasing. And I'm going to just read it, part of Acts 2. So Acts 2, verse 1, says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Every individual, the tongue of fire rested on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then I'm going to jump ahead to verse 11. Part of it says, we hear them. There's people from all over, people from all different people groups, all different languages, were in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. It's the feast of week. It's the feast of weeks. It's the first fruit harvest celebration. And there are people from all nations, and it talks about, gives a list of their. Then it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. And so I just want to pray, Lord, just pray and bless this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this history that we have in the church, in Jesus' name. So the setting was tense. I mean, Jesus had only been dead, crucified, and at this point, it was less time than we have all been home on the shutdown. It was less amount of time. It was about 2/3 of what we've all been in a lockdown, shutdown for. So during that time, Jesus was appearing to his disciples, not to everyone, and specifically, that's a spiritual principle, Jesus appears to people who want to see him. He didn't appear to Pilate. He didn't appear to the Sanhedrin. He didn't appear to the Pharisees. He didn't show up to those who hated him, those who didn't want to know him. He showed up. He shows up, Jesus, and this is, take this to heart. Jesus shows up to those who want to see him, who welcome him, who even are asking, God, are you real? He showed up. It says he showed up not only to his 12, but to 500, over 500 people that were his disciples, followers, those who wanted to know him. And so some people, imagine the tension in Jerusalem. There's some people going about their business who have seen the risen Lord and are probably telling other people who have not seen him, and they're getting ridiculed or questioned. Maybe they're hungry to know that, is this for real? You've seen Jesus of Nazareth alive. You've seen him. He is the Messiah. Yes, he is the Messiah. Ah, I don't believe it. You are, you know, and just like the day of Pentecost, some said, what is going on here? And were open to it. Others were, they're drunk. They were scorning it. It's similar today that there are people who love God, are looking to God. There's people who don't believe God, and if there is a God, he's a joke. He's powerless, and he's an idiot, and he's whatever, and you're an idiot for following him, for believing in this invisible God, or any number of things in between. Maybe they want to know, but they don't believe it, and this is what Jerusalem was the day of Pentecost. People who were sold out, convinced, because of those 500, and even of those 500, only 120 actually went to the upper room, actually took Jesus' instructions and went to the upper room, which is a sad thing. You think of those 350 who saw the risen Lord and didn't take him seriously. I'll bet they did later. But the tension was thick. And it was a short period of time. But they were all together, those 120 were all together in one place when the Holy Spirit came. And there's a lot to be said about that. And could the Holy Spirit have come if they were all scattered individually doing their own things? Yes, the Holy Spirit could do that, but that's not what he did. He came when they were all together in one place. Not just a principle, it's the nature of God. They were praying, they were waiting. God's favor is on oneness. God's favor is on unity. His blessing is when we're together. And in Acts it says all the believers were of one heart and one mind. So that first century group of believers were of one heart and one mind. They shared everything together. There is that idea of strength in oneness, and yet there's multiplication. What comes out of two that become one? Children, life. It multiplies. There's this principle that God endorses, and we need to recognize there's exponential, as was even mentioned. One shall chase 1,000. Two, don't just conquer 2,000. It's exponential. 10,000. I like God's math better than our math. It's not Common Core. Is that what you said? Yeah, I mean, I like his 1 plus 1 is 10,000. In this idea, this day of Pentecost, they were just celebrating a festival that God already established a long time before that. Goes back to the Old Testament Pentecost that he set up, one of the feasts. The Old Testament festival was to celebrate the harvest. It was the first fruits of the harvest. The New Testament Pentecost celebrates the first fruits of the church. The beginnings of what was a lot more to come. And we're part of it. We are part of what is being exponentially birthed from 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit birthed what would become an international, multi-generational, eternally alive family of God that would come together and be the hands and feet and the voice of the living God to all the earth. Amen. That's what you're part of. That is what you're part of. You're not just a person living in small town Faribault, doing your small town thing, and occasionally getting out of town or occasionally traveling. You're part of an international, multi-generational, living organism that will eternally be alive and is representing the living God on the earth right now.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, you need to meditate on that. That is who we are. I mean, I'm blown away. God, why? I just think, man, I wouldn't have picked me if I was you, God. That's certainly wouldn't have picked some of... No, I'm just kidding. We wouldn't have picked any of us. Love you guys. But God chose us. God chose us to represent him, and he's not ashamed to be called our God. He's not ashamed to be known of as the one that we believe in. Show me your God. Can't show him with your eyes, but I can show him with my life. I can show him with a lot of people's lives. I got story upon story that there's no other explanation except God is alive and real. There would be no other reason why you all would do what you do if you didn't know, God is alive and well. And it's our job to rescue others. Not just kind of hope that somebody else does it, or that the Holy Spirit will do it, or that, you know, God will just do what he needs to do. It's part of that, but God says, come along. I have a mission for you. You're my ambassador. I need you to go here and go there. And there's places and people that you can influence that no one else in this room could influence and go to the way you can. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. And we know the devil is real, equally real and alive as well. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy, as John 10:10 says. Jesus reveals the goal of the devil. And that was also mentioned in prayer this morning, interestingly enough. The devil likes to divide. He likes to bring offense. He likes to, when people are gathering, he likes to break it up. He likes to stop it. A house divided will fall. The word says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will what? Scatter. The devil does not like it when we gather together. He wants us separated. He wants us offended with one another. He wants us different from each other. He wants us smarter than someone else, or prettier than someone else, or more rich than someone else, or he wants us broken up. He does not like us gathering together. And I don't mean just physically. He also likes it when people gather together for his purposes. He loves when a mob comes together to burn and loot and destroy. He's throwing gas on that gathering. He's encouraging those types of gatherings if it's to destroy and to perpetuate grief and sorrow and wounds. The media loves to divide people. If you watch the news at all, you don't need any convincing, but they love to emphasize differences. Black and white, rich and poor, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, pro-life, pro-choice. What's more important, the economy or the public health? They just like to make a battle, just get a fight going in all these things. Male and female. They like to get a fight going about who's better? Secular values or religious values, spiritual values? What's better? It's like, of course they have their opinion, but they love to stir things up. Jesus didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. The rest of John 10:10, Jesus came not to kill, but to bring life. And to bring life to the full, abundant life, eternal life. Abundant life now, eternal life forever. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil who likes to divide and offend and destroy. Jesus came to restore and to heal and deliver. That's the God that we serve. His nature is to bring together over and over. I mean, he takes a man and a woman and he says, what God has brought together, let man not separate. He makes two become one. And he meant it for life. His desire for marriage is that it's for life, that they don't separate, that they don't divorce. The people of Jerusalem were fragmented in different factions. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and it says he wept over the city. And he said, how I long to gather my children together, like a hen gathers her chicks. But they wouldn't. I mean, his desire was that they would come together. Jesus, it says, when he called, it says he called the 12 together. And then gave them power and authority. Why does it say that over and over? The word together. It could have said Jesus called the 12, or Jesus gave his 12 power and authority, but it always emphasized mentions Jesus called them together and gave them power and authority. And I don't think it's just physically, and obviously I'm excited and happy to see so many faces back together in one place. It's so much better to look at you all instead of looking at a piece of glass that's a circle with layers to it and hope that anyone's actually listening to this. It's so much better. We were made to be together, but not just physically. There is the matter of being together in spirit and in mind. But also Jesus is serious about being together in mind and heart and spirit, not just physically. So much so that he's so serious about it, he will bring division to families. It says, I came not to bring peace, but a sword, to turn family members against one another. Because it's not just about togetherness and love and peace and joy and all these things, that these virtues, like I've mentioned before. It's not just about these virtues. It's about being together of one heart and mind for the sake of God's glory, for his purposes. Because his wisdom is far above our wisdom. His ways are far above our ways. He knows so much more than we would ever know on this side of heaven. He's serious enough about this unity that he will divide family members who aren't in unity in the right way. Unity is not the main goal. Peace is not the main goal. We probably can talk for an hour on the peace that you may have had in your family, but it's because you couldn't talk about certain things. As long as you didn't talk about certain things, there was peace. That's not peace. So we see in Acts 2, the Pentecost goes way back to the first fruits of the Old Testament, but even beyond that, many believe it is God's reversing the curse of the Tower of Babel. It goes even further back to right after Noah reestablished, after the flood, was starting the first fruits of the human race again after the flood. And then the Tower of Babel comes along. I'm not going to read it. It's Genesis 11. I don't need to read it. I'll just paraphrase it. They had one language. The people of the world after Noah, they had one language and they had one purpose, and they were going to build a tower that would reach to the heavens, and their purpose in it was to make a name for themselves. That they would make a name for themselves. They were scattered. They all came together. It says they came from the east, gathered together of one place, together with one language. And they started building this tower using not stones but that God makes, but brick, clay bricks that they had made. And they were using materials that they made to build this tower for their glory. And God saw this, and it's interesting that he saw the potential in it. He saw that they were doing some amazing things because they had unity, because they were of one mind and one heart and one purpose. And God broke it up because they were making a name for themselves. They weren't making a name for God. And he broke it up by introducing multiple languages. And that alone, and that caused them to scatter. And they were scattered throughout the earth. This language thing is big. I've been, having been to Guatemala, I've mentioned, I'm trying to learn Spanish. And it's tough. I'm not doing so well, but I got this app, and I keep going at it. And I finally was feeling pretty good about certain sentence structures, simple sentence. I'm on a bike ride, and I happened to go by this kind of like mother Hispanic mother and two older children, you know, adults, almost adult. And so I thought, I'm going to practice my Spanish. So I stopped and I asked, hey, you speak fluent English, Spanish? Yeah, they do. And it's like, okay, can I practice on you? Because I don't get a chance to practice my Spanish. And I said, I had a hat. And I wanted to say, this is my hat. This is my hat. And I totally botched it. It's like, according to him, it's like I've been practicing this app for months. And he kind of chuckled and goes, no, what you're saying, what you're kind of like, it's a question. I mean, I don't even remember exactly how he said I did it wrong. And I'm not even going to attempt to say it to any of you in this room who may know what I am saying or what I'm not saying. But it's like, I thought I had it nailed, and the simple structure, this is my hat, or I have a hat. And he goes, no, it's this, that. And I think, well, how about if I say, you have a hat? Is it this? And then I said, what I think is, you have a hat. And he goes, no, it's this and that. It's like, God, this thing. And so I thanked them, and I went on my way. Adios. I got that. Said it with a Faribault accent, but.
He said, no,
it's like this. It's like, yeah. Arrivederci. No, he didn't. It's like, okay, if I had that much trouble with a simple little verbal communication between friends, imagine what the lack of communication did to society when all these multiple languages were introduced. God broke this up in a big way. Communication breakdown. Before this, there was no communication breakdowns. I mean, in the sense of one language, but now, all kinds of, not just, even among those of us who speak English, there can be communication breakdowns. But God broke it up. But what he did at Pentecost in Acts 2 is he took, so the Tower of Babel was one language became lots of languages. One language became many. At Acts 2 Pentecost, many languages joined together and spoke one message. And it was the wonders of God.
Yeah.
They were all these diverse people groups, all these languages, the Medes, the Persians, the Mesopotamians, all these people started hearing the wonders of God in their own language by people who didn't speak those languages miraculously. And there's so much more, but we could do a series on just this Pentecost, but the point is God was bringing multiple perspectives, multiple languages into one message. And God wants us to speak one message, that God is wonderful. That's the kind of unity. That's what he wants to unify us in. Not that we have our various opinions and there's certain things, but God wants us to be walking in that one main message. Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
He is awesome. He is only good. There is nothing bad in him. They made their man-made bricks. God is building his temple. We are his temple. We are living stones put together, joined and fitted together to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Individually, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and together we make the temple that more than reaches the heavens. And then it says he scattered them throughout the earth, which is just like what he did in after the Acts 2. And they were of one heart and one mind, but God didn't want them just to have their fun club in Jerusalem and stay there. Persecution came. He wanted them to go into all the world, go make disciples of all nations. Very similar to what he told Adam and Eve and what he told Noah and his family. Fill the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. Spread out. And that's what God wants us to do. That's our message in, that was the message back then, it's the message that's still today. And some will receive it, some will say, how is this? What does this mean? And some will say, they're a bunch of drunks, they're a bunch of loser idiots. That's still the message, and it's still the response today. Some will be welcomed, some will be scorning. The world is a mess, and it needs Jesus badly. And we have Jesus to share. And many, many now, you read about it, many are falling away from the faith. Many are struggling. Many long-time believers are struggling in their faith, their ability to continue to have hope with what they see with their eyes, with what they feel with their feelings. Many are struggling to believe, and many are struggling to, they're tempted to give up gathering, tempted to give up understanding, trying to understand. And we're told to not lean on our own understanding, but lean on God, trust in the Lord, and have not our mind and opinion, but be of one mind, have the mind of Christ, receive the mind of Christ by faith. The devil wants us to question, is God real? Is he there? Is he good? Is he strong? Does he have a plan? Whatever the question, the devil, I'm sure, if you have a raise of hands. Have you ever struggled with what this is all about? It's like, I have. There's regular struggles. Like, God, are you for real? And that's why it's so important. That's why he established the festivals, the feasts. Remember his deliverance. Remember how God was faithful. Remember what he did. Remember the supernatural things that God did in your life. Those are important to remember, to be reminded when you have a tough time, reminded when you're looking around, you're seeing the world is burning. It's nothing new. It's the same problem that this world, it's wearing out like a garment. It's a temporal place. And we are the rescue squad to bring people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Pentecost was God's birthing the church with supernatural power so that we can tell the world that there is hope in Jesus. There is a reason to be optimistic. Those who trust in Christ win. And not just in this life, but eternally win. We all have reason to look to the future with great hope and great anticipation and trust that God is in control. No matter how rough the ride gets, Jesus is coming back to gather his own, to gather his own. And it's our job to make sure that that gathering gets bigger and bigger and bigger. More and more people are included in that gathering. And there's going to be people that will be tough to want to warm up to, tough to love, just like we were before we surrendered. But we have to see beyond the tensions and see beyond the conflicts or the resistance of, because people just don't understand. They're in the dark, and that's why we need to love the heck out of them. So make it a priority to fight for the truth. I'm just going to make it your effort to reach out to desperate people. Tell of his wonders, that God is awesome. Whether things are good or bad, and especially when things are bad. Because people need to hear good news. People need to have hope. And there is no other hope like we have in Christ. Fight to unite believers, fight to connect, fight the resistance, the temptation to want to pull away and disconnect. It's, you know, it's kind of nice to roll out of bed and just go watch church on TV. I can be a really patient, kind, loving person by myself. But when you come together is when you practice those one another's, when you find out, okay, I need to work in that area. I guess I'm not done yet. In other words, come together right now over Jesus. See, the world even uses catchy little jingles and songs to speak to something that's powerful, truth, in the kingdom of God. Come together. That's again, the virtue without Jesus is not good. But a virtue with Jesus is powerful. In fact, virtues without Jesus are powerful too, because God designed it. Is God's idea. God created virtues, and they are powerful, and we can be these wonderful people all the way to hell without Jesus, and that's not what God wants. So, not just for human togetherness' sake, but come together in one heart, one mind, because God is at work on the earth, and his blessing is when we come together in every way. Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is when believers live together, when brothers, sisters live together in unity. And it goes on, it's like the precious oil poured on the head running down on Aaron's beard. And then it says, ends short psalm, for there in that place of unity, there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Where there's The scripture also says where there's envy and selfish ambition, you'll find disorder and every evil practice. When we're trying to go our own way and raise our own selves apart from others, there's every evil practice in that. So I'm just going to close here. Speaking of essential, what's essential or what's not essential, it was essential that Jesus left this earth so he could send the Holy Spirit to live in every believer. Amen. That was essential. That was important that he left. He was here for 40 days. It's me, guys. It's real. I'm alive, but I need to go. And they were grieved. What do you mean you need to go? Where are you going? Let not your hearts be troubled. I need to go. And if I go, I will come back. But in the meantime, he sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in us so that we would have the power to be his witnesses, supernatural power. We need the gift of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the fruits of the Spirit to do what he wants done, to rescue people out of darkness into his light. We need his one message that God is real. God is alive. God cares. He's coming again. And he's wonderful. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for opening our eyes and choosing us. Thank you for sending your Spirit. Lord, help us to fight for true unity of the faith. Help us to not make things up on our own or try to figure out a new theology or a new doctrine, but to go with what you say. To join with others over the generations who proclaim the truth that you are alive. Lord, that we would walk in that place of blessing that you bestow on those who walk in unity, that are of one heart and one mind and one purpose for your glory. Lord, thank you for this season that we're in. We trust that you are well aware of all that's going on, all that's needed. You love people from all nations, all races, Lord, as you've made one human race, God. And Lord, help us as we grow in oneness and grow in being like-minded, as we grow in effectiveness to be your ambassadors. Use us, God. And we continue to pray for healing of our earth, healing of the world. From this virus, deliverance from this, Lord. We just thank you seeing better days now and believing that more and more life is coming. Lord, we just proclaim your love, your grace, your mercy, and everything about you is good. In every generation, in every culture, you are only for us. We thank you, Lord. We pray you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Have a great day, guys.